When you think of the eighth commandment, thou shalt not steal, did you think about the responsibility to earn your money properly, to provide for your own, to be careful with your money? Did any of that strike you as part of thou shalt not steal? So, okay, something else to think about. Now here is taking from others. For example, there it is, Ephesians 4, what should it be? 28, thank you. Therefore, Ephesians 4:28 says, let him who stole steal no longer. So it is wrong to steal. Okay? Taking something that doesn't belong. That could be with violence. That could be with sneaking it into your purse when you're at the store. I have to wonder, you know, how you go to the most grocery stores and there's all these candy bars right at child level. I wonder how many of those end up going out and melting in a child's pocket. Just snuck in there real quick. But that's taking what doesn't belong to you. That's stealing. Here's another way of stealing. Fraud. Dishonest scales are an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. What's he saying? What's that about? Yeah, don't overcharge. Now, first of all, in the ancient world, sometimes people had two weights, two sets of weights. So if I'm buying, you know, and what you do is you put like a pound of grain and a pound of gold, okay, whatever. And so if I'm buying from you, I use a little heavier 1 pound. So I get more than a pound when I'm buying from you. When I'm selling, I use a little lighter pound. So when I'm buying, I use a 1.1 pound weight and call it 1 pound. When I'm selling, I use a 0.9 pound weight. At the end of the day, I might have gained a couple of extra pounds of grain to sell. That's fraud. So having two sets of weights, God says, that's fraudulence, that's deceptive. And there's different ways you can do that. Remember when Mary Lise was going to buy her first car, you know, we found something on Craigslist and, it was just, everything seemed like a pretty good situation. Once we actually had a chance to look at the car, we realized this was not at all the car as it was represented. So I went back to the guy, and he said, well, you're just having buyer's remorse. I said, no, this is not the car that you were telling me about. You know, for example, it had been in an accident. He was giving me all these documents to show it had never been an accident. And we discovered, too, that the airbag lights had been disconnected, so you wouldn't know that the airbags had been discharged, and there were no airbags. And I'm thinking, how could I let Mary Lise go off to school with no airbags in a car that but eventually, we were able to help him see the light, and we got the full refund. But the whole point was, I could say, you misrepresented this vehicle. So that's fraud, and that can come out in lots of ways. Have you ever seen some of these exposés where, you know, they, like mechanics, for example, they go in these mechanic shops and they plant cameras under the cars and show, look, they never even changed the oil. They didn't touch these things. Fraud. Defrauding is another category. Indeed, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, cry out, the cries of the reapers have reached the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. Here it's talking to the employer. Failure to pay your employees, you will answer to God. So that's defrauding in the sense of, I told you I'd pay you for your work, but you won't do it. But that could be a lot of things, like failure to pay our bills, failure to pay a contractor. Anything like that is, again, part of the whole thou shalt not steal. By the way, I should mention that, notice that word Lord of Sabaoth. That's not Lord of Sabbath. That's actually, James here, you know, slips back into Hebrew. Sabaoth is the Hebrew word, or tzvaot, for hosts or armies, the Lord of hosts. So what he's saying to Christians is, if you cheat your employees, You are going to answer to the Lord of armies. Try that the next time you feel like you got gypped on your paycheck. So there's different ways to steal, right? Have we figured that out? That stealing by not properly earning my money, stealing by not properly handling my own money, stealing by defrauding, by taking. How are we doing so far? Does that all make sense? Have I said anything radically that you would differ with? Okay, let's go to the next slide. What are ways that we might steal? Yes, ma'am. Ooh. So if you're on the time clock and you're supposed to be working and you're not working, that's a form of theft. Okay? Good. Mm-hmm. Stealing God's time, which might even be a bigger deal than stealing your employer's time. I shouldn't say that, but you get my point. Yeah, we all are responsible to be good stewards of whether it be our finances, God's time. Ooh. Plagiarism, presenting as your work what someone else has produced. That's a growing problem. When I was teaching college, that was such a dilemma for me. It almost became a sport to catch the criminals, and I was acknowledged by some of the other faculty as being pretty effective at it. It was amazing. Anytime I had a paper presented, I would always have two or three that were presenting as their own work what someone else had done. In the old days, back in ancient history, there wasn't copy and paste computers. And so you would read these books and it somehow had to go through your mind and the ideas would change a little bit. Nowadays, you can write a research paper in 15 minutes if you just cut and paste. And to me, the best example I ever saw of that was one of my papers was, and there was this weird formatting where they just left this big open blank right in the middle of the paper. And I'm thinking, what in the world is that for? And then when I started noticing, this doesn't seem like this student's work, I found the article that they had stolen, and there's a picture that they didn't, that they forgot. When they removed the picture, they didn't even reformat the paragraph. And I laughed a lot and failed the person. But it was just amazing to me, if you're going to cheat, at least do a good job. But so plagiarism, and that can come out making it personal. There are pastors out there that, they get up and they preach someone else's sermon. And the problem is when they present it as their own. If I were to maybe, I haven't done it, but there might be a time where I thought the very best thing you could hear, no one could ever do better than what Mr. Spurgeon, I'm going to give you Mr. Spurgeon's sermon or something. I can't imagine that, but in other words, if I said, today we're going to listen to Mr. Spurgeon, then that would be different than, boy, Drake, that was one of your best sermons. That was incredible. Well, thank you. I appreciate it. That would be different, wouldn't it? I have to tell you a Spurgeon story, speaking of which. One time he was in his exhaustion. He just had to go out into the country, and he slipped into the back of a little country church. And the pastor preached one of Spurgeon's sermons. Just got up and just read the sermon. As the pastor then went to the door and greeted, here comes out of his church Mr. Spurgeon. And can you imagine his embarrassment? Oh, Oh no, Mr. Spurgeon, I am so sorry. That was your sermon I just preached. And Mr. Spurgeon said, yeah, I recognized it. And actually, I'm very grateful because it blessed me. And I'm so glad to know that my sermons can bless a heart because it blessed my heart today. Can you imagine preaching the sermon and then finding out the fellow's there? So those are a couple examples. Here's a couple more. We can steal with our digits, our fingers, taking things in a variety of ways, right? Taking what doesn't belong to us. And one of the areas that, again, is a problem, we even mentioning it in the plagiarism, we can steal with our devices digitally. So digits and digitally. And that's a problem today because it is so easy to copy stuff. And here's where the problem comes in, is when people work very hard, for example, to write a book or to create something, a song or something. That's their livelihood. And so, for example, if I ask you to repair, you know, if you're a mechanic, I ask you to repair my car, you repair my car, and I don't pay you, well, you know, you can't take care of your family. People that create ideas, like software, music, whatever else it may be, if we take what they've created and don't reimburse them, we're stealing from them. We're stealing from their families. Now I like to steal books, but from authors that are long dead. Their grandchildren are dead, and so it's now legal to just go ahead and download the whole book, and it's been uploaded legally, and they call that, I think, public domain. And if a guy is alive and still, you know, depending on that, and we take it, that's commandment number 8. And you could think through the ramifications. But put it in terms of, this is the guy's, the gal's livelihood. This is what they do for a living. And so we should be thoughtful about that. I remember seeing a cartoon. I should have put it in here. It's a church secretary's answering the phone. No, the senior pastor is he's at the hospital visiting. No, I'm sorry, the associate pastor is in Zambia on a mission trip, and the youth pastor is in prison for copyright infringement. So I'm sorry, there's no one here that can talk to you today. So things to be careful about.